All we need is a little understanding. Walk a mile in their shoes. And if we keep our hearts open-minded, we'll enjoy this wild ride called life. And if we keep our hearts open-minded, we'll enjoy this wild ride. This wild ride called life.
All right, welcome everybody to another episode of the True Street Hide podcast. I need to talk to you about a little bit about my friend Ryan Hunt here. So I'm really excited that he's on here. He's like my big brother. I don't even remember how we met, but he just really quick before he tells the story, he hasn't heard this yet. He freaking blows my mind every time. So I learn something new from him every day. He makes me want to keep stepping up my game. And to have him on here is like a true honor. So Ryan,
nice.
I surprised you with that. But hey, I told Ryan before that I want to dig deep into who he is, because he is the master of all trades. He's retired Army major, and he does everything that I can't even, I don't even know how he does it all. So let's hear who you are, Ryan, before we hear about the 10 businesses that you own.
Well, I'm Ryan. First off, thank you for having me on your podcast. That it really means a lot to me. Of course. And I think what you're doing here is amazing. It's honest, and I do appreciate it. I think that it's definitely an important forum and platform for people to have in this community. So in this space. So a little bit about me. I am it's funny to be doing this because we have these amazing conversations. And I've told you so many times, why didn't you push record on these conversations? Now we're sitting here and it's like, oh my goodness, what am I going to say? Go through this thing. So basic background on me, I was born in California. Didn't really live there too much growing up. My dad was an entrepreneur and we lived all over the world. By the time I was 10, I think I had been to about 30 different countries and lived in various countries around the world, went to school in different countries. But we always, in the U.S., we considered Las Vegas our home. And TMI, my dad, when I was younger, there's a lake outside of Las Vegas, Lake Mead. And he took me out to the lake. And that's where he decided to tell me about the birds and the bees. It was already too late. I was already almost 16 years old, but he went into a lot of detail about how I was a love child, and we went through the steps. So maybe now you know a little too much about me. I do know that the song that was playing when I was thought of, I was a twinkle in my mom's eyes, was Sarah Smiles by Hall & Oates. And it was after some tuna fish sandwiches and a Coke on a boat in Lake Mead. I've never told anyone that. And never told anyone about that actually on a podcast that the world will hear. And it's kind of embarrassing. I don't know why I told you that story, but. And that is one of those people that gets these things out of you and pulls them out. The truths you hide, right? So you these are things that normal human beings probably wouldn't share, but then she gives me that look and I'm like, bleh. Okay, so what else do you want to know? You know how I was, my origin story, how I was created, where I was.
That's so sweet. So you're born and your dad was an entrepreneur. So what did he do that made you say, I want to do that too.
Well, I'm not sure there's one thing that he did that inspired me. I think there was multiple things throughout my time, but one thing that my father did was anytime he was with his business or whether he was in the C-suite of a company, he would make me sit in the corner during the summertime, not as a punishment, but to spend time with him. And I would actually be there during every single meeting that occurred. And as I went through and became an Army officer, well, I was enlisted first, but when I became an Army officer, I started to realize that the lessons that my father had actually been teaching me, lessons on management and leadership the entire time. And he always said this too. He says, I might not leave you with much, but I will leave you with an MBA. And he didn't mean that formally, like going to Harvard or Cornell. He meant just the knowledge that he was throwing down and the experiences, because they were very unfiltered at times.
I love that. So you enlisted first. What made you want to enlist?
When I initially enlisted, my father had actually, unfortunately, he was diagnosed with liver cancer. And I was the youngest son, but probably the other brothers, I can hear them right now. I would say that I was the most loyal and the best son, but no. But for the time and the place, I stepped up and took care of my father. He was a very, unfortunately, fortunately, he was a prideful individual. He did not want to be put in hospice care. And so I took care of him in his final 6 months, which it was very difficult. When I came out of that, I had been in college. When I came out of that, I had done some various other things we can go into. When I came out of that, I was just mentally, I was 21 years old. My father had, who really was the main person in my life. My parents had been divorced. He was a central figure for me. He had passed away. And my whole world was basically destroyed at that point. And mentally, I was not in a great place. So one day, let me go back, actually. So I turned 21. I had taken over taking care of my dad. But at the same time, we were back in Las Vegas, safe place again. And I had started dealing blackjack, actually. I don't know if I've told you this. No. And I was dealing cards in Las Vegas, and I hated it. And after my father passed away, I'm sitting there at the table dealing cards to people, not very happy with how things were turning out. Here I was, 3 years before this, in 95 when I was a senior, and I'd been accepted to quite a few schools, had actually gone to college right afterwards, had even been offered an opportunity to play football and wrestling in college. And now I'm sitting dealing blackjack. My father is, my whole support system was destroyed. And I'm like, what is my next move? And the Army did cross my mind, is maybe an escape, maybe an opportunity, to get this fabled GI Bill money. And I did have a desire to serve this country, but more reinforced later on in my life. So one day I was kind of a chicken shit. I hope, maybe I shouldn't have said that. I didn't want to go in to the recruiter. So what I did is I just didn't show up to work, and I was a no-show and got fired basically from dealing blackjack. But I intentionally did it so that I would lose all support, and I would be kind of challenged to do the Army stuff. And I did immediately. I went into the recruiter that day that I chose not to go to work and enlisted. I went in, it was Sergeant Gwen, and I remember just telling him, listen, I don't want the Private Benjamin, you know, photo album with the with the condos on the beach and all of this stuff. Just get me into something. Let's sign it today. You know, of course the Army doesn't work that way, right? Through maps and everything. But anyways, I enlisted in the Army, long story short, and in April, right around April 2001, I'd been in the Army not that very long. I'd been promoted to sergeant very rapidly. I was promoted within the first 2 years. And I was like, I'm done. And so I got out April 2001. And the last thing I said to my battery commander, kind of arrogantly, as it sometimes young punks do, I said, Chase, here's an emergency. You'll see me back. Don't worry about that, sir. You know, like, who the hell is this kid? Right? So... Hey, there's some things that happen in between that would probably be very interesting, but I know for the sake of time, I'm just going to condense this. So I go to college, and within a few weeks, I'm coming back from my first class of the morning, political science, and that's when we find out about 9/11. And by the time I got back to my room and I'm watching all this stuff unfold live on TV, which was just, you got to think about just how... I'll use the word amazing. It's not the right word. Surreal, maybe. Watching this live and watching all those people die, you know, and suffering, and American people. I mean, even now, it does upset me. And I had a calling that day to go back into the military. And it wasn't for a GI Bill. It was for something higher that I believe in, that I always believed in, actually. And so that's when I joined back into the Army and served my career at various levels and ranks and whatnot. And then I did make one promise to myself when I was tired and when I didn't have that calling anymore, then I would take the uniform off. And I did. And then I went off to do something that I felt I had been missing in my life, which was try to become half the entrepreneur that my father was.
Oh my gosh. So how long did you serve?
A little over 20 years.
That's incredible. Well, thank you for your service. Thank you for everything that you did, because it does take a certain individual to receive that calling and go forth with it, because not everybody can do the military. So your first entrepreneurial journey, what was that?
Sure. So I started off, I was actually still on active duty, and I knew that my time was running short, and I wanted to have something that a lot of veterans are like this. They start off on active duty because they want to have something special to transition with, and they're able to kind of foresee in the, you know, the crystal ball, if you will, that their time is coming to an end and that something else needs to be found. Kind of like Who Moved My Cheese? If you've read that, I know you've read it. Who you're always looking for other cheese stations, right? So I created initially a company called 10th Mountain Social Media Strategies, which was primarily focused on the social media space and managing people's social medias. Most of my clients, and we did have about 10 clients at different times, were veteran companies. And of those companies, the majority of them were in the veteran apparel space, or trying to be in the veteran apparel space at some degree. And so I started managing them, and I realized that I could probably, as I was beginning to make money for other people and I was seeing very little into my pocket, I began to realize, well, maybe I need to do this myself, because if I can take, and I'm not a guru by any means, but if I can take, let's just say, one company in particular, company B, if I could take B and triple their money within the first 90 days, maybe I can do that with myself. And I was on a TDY actually to Fort Lewis and came up with the basic idea of Mountain Up. And it went through many stages. This is a whole nother conversation, but I created Mountain Up. And so that was kind of the evolution from 10th Mountain Social Media Strategies to my own apparel company, which was the focus and still is to the most part of what I do. But I do, as you mentioned, I have a lot of different lines of effort.
I want to go back really quick to when you transitioned out of the Army, you had an idea in your head of what you wanted to do, but how was it mentally? Like, were you mentally prepared to go through those steps, or were you like, I got this? No, easy.
Great question. And I will tell you that I felt like I was ready to transition. I had done it before. Mm-hmm. Sergeant Hunter had transitioned and had a very horrible transition. And there's more to that transition story. But again, that'd probably be another whole show. And it would blow your mind, by the way. And then to this transition where I felt like I was better prepared, better positioned, better educated than I was. And the reason I say educated, I wish there was some context. I wish I could fill you in a little bit more. But I thought I was more prepared. Now, mentally, a huge difference. When I got out as a sergeant, it was pre-9/11. And so we weren't even dealing really, for me, I wasn't dealing with any real huge issues of, you know, my health or mental or physical health. And now, as I made this transition, I was. And actually, as I transitioned out almost immediately, my former wife, who was a great friend of mine, she felt like this was her logical time to transition to out of our marriage. So I was left in just, so we transition. I'm in Las Vegas. And then I'm also dealing with going through a divorce, which was not a nasty one, by the way, thankfully. And, but it did put me in a really bad place for sure. It was tough. I still feel like it transition's tough. I mean, it's hard, even if you're educated and even if you have experiences, translating those experiences can be daunting. And a lot of the times corporate America doesn't value as much as they should value the experience of the military. Mm-hmm. You could give most of the military people that I know, you could give them 50 tasks and they can go kill it, you know, not literally kill it, but they could kill it. Right. And if you were to give someone brand new, fresh out of college, those same tasks, they may not perform as well or with as much insight and experience, even if it's in a different, it's in the civilian sector somewhere. So that's difficult sometimes for someone in my position to be given a job offer that maybe is really, I think, kind of below what I deserve. But maybe you need that opportunity to get in there. So I'm not bad mouthing or, but I'm not exactly giving it thumbs up either. So just saying like that's hard.
Yeah.
Is what the bottom line is, when it's hard on your makeup because you're a soldier, right? You're one day you're Major Annette, and then the next day you're Annette.
Yeah.
Okay. There's Annette going to TJ Maxx. You know, exactly. So
true story.
It's tough. It's not Major Hunt, the guy that was sitting, you know, as a chief of operations and thought he was like the king of the world at some point. Or a company commander waving my guide on. Now I'm just another guy in a hoodie and a baseball cap talking on a podcast.
I know, absolutely. You hit it. You hit it because it is. It's one day you're major this, and then the next day you're just. It's like, so who are you?
And you got to think about it, an enlisted soldier, everybody, this applies to everybody. But I can think about some squad leader who was in Afghanistan and he's leading his squad through combat operations and the importance of that, the importance of that mission. And maybe he lost a soldier, maybe he didn't. Okay. 6 to 1, half dozen the other. I mean, there is importance to that, but meaning it, whether you that happened or not is not the point. So you come back to the United States and what do you do next? Maybe you're in college, maybe you're not. And then you see people that have different opinions, different values than you. And it must be very difficult, even from my perspective, it's very difficult to sit by and to watch as people disrespect, and they don't even know they're doing it. They're disrespecting your service along with the other 1% of the United States. And it's different. It's difficult because it's an upfront, upfront to your, who you are.
Yeah.
It's difficult. Does that make sense?
No, it does make sense. It is very difficult. So you were dual military for a short time.
No.
No, not at all. Okay. I thought you were.
No, my spouse was a veteran, but we were okay. never military. No.
Okay. So now you're here today and you're doing like 15 different things. How do you get the energy to keep showing up? And do you have days where you're just like, you're second guessing yourself, or maybe you go through some type of imposter syndrome?
Every day. I mean, for sure. Every day. I feel like that. I probably start the mornings off feeling that way quite often. In all seriousness, on Friday, for example, I hit a wall and I just had no energy to, and I wasn't even sure, you know, if I was going to be able to pull off what I'm trying to pull off. And it does, it takes a lot of mental strength to keep it going at times. I mean, being an entrepreneur, it sounds really cool. I'm an entrepreneur, but that, to me, when someone says I'm an entrepreneur, that, and it, I mean this in a good way, it's going to come across not good, but entrepreneur is a person that has a lot of mental strength, both to succeed and to fail forward. And emphasis, bold letters on failing forward. So every day I'm like, and then I'm stressed out too. I mean, office space isn't free, so not here. It isn't in Chicago. So I have to continuously just in my mind, keep myself focused and continue to just do the things that I'm doing. And I'm always looking for different ways to increase my business, my book of business, whether that's, as you mentioned, I have like 15 different endeavors, and I just take a little bite out of everything and move the ball forward on those projects. But what I should say is I don't just look at things in a micro level. So the most important thing that actually keeps me on track, and getting back to your question, is I look at things a year to 2 years out, and I plot them out. And that does keep me focused on the tracks, so to speak. But more than that, I believe that you have to have a vision of where you're going. Without the vision is the key to everything, right? The vision is that light out in the ocean. Maybe it's a boat, who knows what it is, in the middle of the night, and you're looking across the ocean and you can see this, just this light out there. That's where you're navigating to. But between that light and you is a bunch of darkness. And you create, you have the ability to create what happens between you and that light. And sometimes you're just gonna, you will have to be adaptive, you'll have to be responsive, and you'll have to be creative. So things are gonna always change. I got a little off topic there.
Well, I think it's important to talk about the behind the scenes of being an entrepreneur, because you can use that title so freely, but it, no one really knows what goes on. You know, it may look like, oh yeah, you could, entrepreneur, you've got your business, you're making this money, it's all fine and it's all fancy and you're all over social media. But if you take back the layers, it's hard.
I don't have a Lambo. That's number one. Right? So I'm not flying in private jets or anything. I'm just, every day I'm trying to move towards that light. I will say that I created some pretty robust goals last year and for 2020. And even with everything that occurred, I think I did pretty well in keeping on track with those. And I exceeded what I was trying to accomplish for sure. Now, 2021, I have set even higher goals. And I know with friendships such as yours and with a lot of people in the veteran community that it's actually possible to accomplish some really dynamic and special things coming up in 2021.
Now, with, I think one of the things that I've tried to focus on is the passion behind it. It's because, you know, my journey is, I drive a truck, which I love, but I'm not living, you know, I'm not making six figures and like a lot of people, but my passion drives it. And it's because I love doing what I do and not focusing all on the money. And now with you, I've seen you get excited about things, which is awesome. And I think that's so important to focus on is, okay, you might not make a lot of money right now, but you're so excited to create new things, new graphics, new products, new things. And so how, what am I trying to say? I want people to know that you have to have that passion. You cannot focus on money all the time. You have to want to do it because that's what you love. And so I see that with you. Is that how you feel? I mean,
without having the passion is definitely the lifeblood of what I'm doing here. And throughout my military career, throughout everything I've done, if I didn't have passion to do it, then the end result was zero, was a donut hole. When I was younger, I was in eighth grade, my stepmother, my first stepmother, I should say. very, very definitely a very, I'll say the good stuff before I go into the bad stuff, but definitely a good lady and taught me quite a bit. I would definitely not have accomplished most of the stuff that I've accomplished without her influence. I'll say that. And that's my successes and my failures. But she had a lot of wisdom. And sometimes I reflect back and wish, darn, she really stressed this. And I wish I had just followed what she said because she was right. She was right. But in eighth grade, she said something to me. She said that I would never be able to get a straight A report card. And I was mediocre in my grades prior to that. But that actually lit a passion because I don't want people telling me that I cannot do something, you know, that it's impossible. So I said about it, and it was at the beginning. Luckily, when she made those comments, it was right at the beginning of that quarter. And I think the grades before that were maybe straight B's. I don't know. And I did. At the end of the semester, I had straight A's. And it would not be the last time I got straight A's. So that it, but it took passion to do that for sure. When I wrestled, I don't think I would have been on the wrestling team had it not been for passion. And I had actually been playing football in my senior year, mid-season. I quit because I felt like I didn't have that. Even though I had colleges calling me to play and I had college letters to go play football, I didn't want to do it. I had no passion for it. And my father, he said, if you don't have passion for it, don't do it. So I walked off the football field one day and I never came back. And it made the coach mad, I'll tell you that right about now. That guy, and that's another podcast. Oh boy. That guy, we weren't the eye. But that passion is key. I mean, if you don't have passion for the things that you do, then that you're not going to get the kind of results you want. And you're right. It's luck. Well, the way that I've been raised in the military, it's not always about money, right? It's about something that is more a higher calling. So I approach a lot of the things that I do with that type of energy, with that type of passion. And I can look at a project or look at a certain thing and be like, no, I don't have passion for that. No, no, thank you. I don't think you're and I'm very selective even with some of my clients because I do a variety of things, but even still do social media, for example. And I will turn down a project if I just don't feel like there's a good connection or there's going to be passion behind it. That happened actually, and it was very hard because I was re-kickstarting a lot of my efforts. I think it was June or July timeframe, and I'm not going to mention the person or the company or whatever, but we were going through a very long and very strung out negotiation process and a lot of lack of communication on their part. But at the end of the day, I had to tell them, be blessed, good luck in life, but we're not going to be a good fit. Primarily because of the communication, but at that point I no longer had passion for what they were doing, and I wouldn't have been a good fit for them at that point. Yeah. And so it's not fair. I don't want to take somebody's money unless I feel like I'm going to bring at least 2 to 3 times value of what I'm doing. I just won't do it. That's why you'll see, for example, my e-commerce mastermind is charged so low. Yes, it's an experiment for me. It's a pilot program, but I charge it. I want to believe that I'm not just about the bottom, like let's charge $197 or whatever type of the deal. I want to make sure if you're paying me $25, you're getting $100 worth of real value out of it.
Yeah.
If you don't, then I feel bad. I don't want to take your money unless... Because times are hard for people.
Yeah.
And I want to make sure that I'm bringing value.
Absolutely.
Does that make sense?
No, it does make sense. And it's important to point that out because there are a lot of people out there that just charge the money because they can make the money. But I think it's more important to show that there are other people out there that actually are looking at whether they're passionate about it or not. It's a lot out there and you just have to be careful. So like people like you who really want to create value and it's not all about the money, that makes a big difference. So now you have, well, let's just talk about the next two things that you're doing because we could be here all day. The next big thing that I've seen in progress, which is really fun, is your so you have coffee, you have mountain up caps. So let's talk about that really quick, and then we'll get into the teddy bear roast.
Okay, so real quick plug for Mountain Up. You can find them at www.mountainupcaps.com. You can see the logo above me right over here, and we are definitely veteran owned and operated since 2015, and we are a military inspired hat company. But now we are doing a little bit of rebranding and redirection. So we're changing it up quite a bit. In the past, we did primarily military themed hats, but we're branching off quite a bit and doing a lot of different things. Definitely fun, but getting the Teddy Bear Roast, that is our newest endeavor, which you can see the link down below there, teddybearroast.com. And that is a veteran owned and inspired roast.
I'm so excited about it. There's so many different coffees out there, but I'm just going to put a plug in now because he had me hook on Mexican chocolate and it's amazing. So, but go look at the other ones because there's so many different flavors. The next thing that you've worked on and now you're doing again, Veteran Social Summit Part Dos. So
that was an idea inspired by Doc Rob Garcia, the warrior strategist. Very, very good guy. I like him quite a bit. And he's a good guy. And he inspired me to do some type of a virtual event. And I came up with the concept probably within an hour of talking with him. To name it Veteran Social Summit or hashtag Vet Social. The initial goal of Veteran Social Summit was to bring together the vet community in terms of entrepreneurship. So bringing the experience, bringing the knowledge and the ability for veterans that or active duty soldiers that were wanting to find some great information and begin to do that networking, to bring them together so that they can actually start climbing higher towards their entrepreneurial goals or wishes or vision, as I mentioned earlier. It was a very big success in my opinion. It exceeded my expectations. And when I put it on, I was thinking in terms of just one event. And now I know that we'll hold the Veteran Social Summit 2021 next December. Probably you'll still be virtual, not 100% sure about that, but I do know at some point it will be a physical event, more than likely. So right after the Veteran Social Summit, which was held on 5 December of 2020, so just last month, and just think about how much we've grown since just a month ago. I mean, it's crazy how much growth has occurred just in the last month. And I contribute a lot of that to the Veteran Social Summit, for sure. So April 3rd, we're hosting part two, as you had mentioned, which is the Mental Health Summit, Today I Decide, hashtag Today I Decide. And that is going to be pretty dynamic. And we have our very own Annette speaking at the event. So that's going to be great. I will also be there. Kind of like the MC, the DJ, the guy that's probably a little out of place. And we will be discussing mental health broken down into really three different areas, which is mind, body, and spirit. And so far, it looks like we're bringing together just a great panel of speakers, both civilians and veterans, to really address some of the issues that are going on in our world today and as it applies to mental health.
That's really awesome. Now I remember that's how we met was when you started advertising the Veteran Social Summit and I became a small little sponsor.
When you sponsor the event, no one plays a small role. Sponsorships are key. And actually we were able to provide over 500 tickets. Not that they were all used, unfortunately, kind of a waste, but we did donate 500 tickets to VetTix, and we could not have done that without sponsors like you. So we do appreciate it.
Well, it's pretty amazing to see everything you're doing. So you keep me motivated and I keep doing more. So I'm excited to see what's to come next. So what's your next goal? I want to say the next 5 years, but probably the next month. What do you want to do?
I have my I usually have this very elaborate chart, but I left it at my house. And I like to refer to that. But basically, this first quarter of 2021 is mostly a setup for the rest of the year. So Teddy Bear Roast, as we mentioned before, teddybearroast.com is live now, soft launch. So check it out. Delicious coffees, and I think they're actually priced appropriately compared to some of our competitors that are out there in the veteran coffee space, not to name any coffee companies, but anyways, so we're launching that endeavor. That's one thing that I'm up to. Mountain up going to be continuing for. We have quite a few hats that are in production. It's very exciting. Our first hats of 2021 just came off the quote unquote conveyor belts yesterday. So we're off to a strong start. And I'll tell you that this time last year, we were at a catastrophic point because coronavirus had already affected what I was doing. And I had closed down the doors of my e-commerce that had been around for, well, now almost 6 years, and closed it down. And I was not sure that I was going to be bringing it back. So today, as we ring the bell and start clapping our hands as the hats rolled off the conveyor belt, you know, I was proud. It was a proud moment. It was a huge milestone that we are able to be here right now, functioning even at the small level that we're functioning at. So Mountain Up continues forth. We have an exciting collection that's going to be coming out in the spring. I'm looking forward to a journey across America. And I think it's an appropriate time for us to bring this type of a message. Although we've always had a patriotic message, Mountain Up, Pando Media, and all my endeavors thrive on three pillars, which is patriotism, adventure, and generosity, giving back to our community. So that's ever present in our minds always with everything that I do. So very excited about that. Teddy Bear Roast, Veteran Social Summit, we're going to be planning, and we're looking for sponsors, obviously, for that event. At some point, that's going to cut off here in February-ish, March, whenever this is playing. I'm not sure when this will actually be released, but it'll be February, March. Yep. We actually cut off. So if you're listening to this, you still want to sponsor us, I'm sure we can fit you in to sponsor. We'd be very honored to have you as a sponsor if you're out there and considering it. And you can find that information by contacting Annette directly, and she'll link us up and take care of that. And so we'll be planning that. And of course, 3 April, that's when the Veteran Social Summit, the Today I Decide, will be released. So those are some things we're working on. I have another couple little projects. I have an e-commerce mastermind that's going on right now. It's at full capacity. I'm actually letting one person in that over the capacity because it's a favor to someone that I know. And that's very exciting to be at full capacity for that. What else am I doing? What else is going on?
So many.
I can't talk about right. Well, by
no, the time, no, it's okay.
It'll probably be okay for me to talk about. So I guess I'll go ahead and shamelessly plug another thing. So as of today, I should not be talking about it, but this will be released in February. So I think it'll be okay for me to mention it, which is I've just recently become part owner of a company called Footies. And more information to follow about that. But I'm very excited about that partnership. That was actually right before coming on the that was actually went into the final negotiation. And I'm very happy to say that I took a very small share, but very reasonable share of that company. And we hope that we can do some really great things in 2021 and 2022 with that endeavor of footies. A very dynamic product. I think it should be on the foot of every human being on the planet. It would be awesome.
And it will be.
Another thing I do, I should plug them more, but I'm a silent partner on the endeavor. I guess I'm not being too silent right now, is I am part owner of another e-commerce called Born on the 4th of July, a great military apparel company. They do a lot of embroidery work. And just a really great company. So that's all the shameless plugs. Do I have any other shameless plugs that I can? I don't know, but
we can add them into the podcast guide. Everything else you want to add in there.
There's like 50 things that we do.
Is there something you want to leave and close this out with to leave for the audience?
Sure. This is something that I feel like, let me get my thoughts right here, but it's very important to me. As you're looking to transition out of this is directed to the audience of people that are transitioning, or maybe they have just already transitioned out. One thing, if you have not transitioned out, really utilize that transition workshops, the ACAP, I don't even know what it's called now, but utilize that. And really do pay attention, you know, put down the angry birds and pay attention and start actually drafting. You can't read the future, but you can definitely plan for it. And so plan out where you think you're going. Even if you're like, okay, I'm going to college. Good. Guess what? The GI Bill is real. The post 9/11 is good, but also just start planning out what that looks like. What your transition is going to look like there, where you're going to live, start doing the analysis. And then also look at programs, look at the VA, for example. A lot of people don't pay attention to that, those briefings, and they are missing something there. You know, and if you're out, go to va.gov. If you haven't filed a claim, if there's something that you can file for, you should be filing. You should take advantage and I don't mean take advantage in a bad way. I'm saying take advantage of benefits that you are 100% entitled to.
Yeah.
I hear it every day. I see it every day. Veterans that don't take advantage of something that they've earned through their service, and you should do it. And a lot of people don't even know the website for the VA. I have it laser etched into my brain, you know, va.gov. That's another site that I don't work for the VA, but I'll push them because, you know, at the end of the day, they do want to take care of you. That is their mission. Okay. Is to take care of you, and you should take advantage of it as best as you can. And the great thing is you have a community of veterans, including myself and a host of other people that you can get free. Okay, because there are people that are charging for this stuff, right? Mm-hmm. You can get free resources, free help, even if it's just a talk to people about filing a claim or whatever is going on. So, yeah, transition. And lastly, if you do want to become, you asked me for one thing, I'm like,
it's okay.
But if you want to become an entrepreneur, do it. And don't let anyone stop you, but realize that the journey is going to be hard for sure. And there's going to be a lot of failing forward, but do it. Do the things that you want and then connect with good people like Annette and other people that are out there in the veteran space that actually want you to succeed. They're not going to do the work for you, but they're going to hopefully give you some words of encouragement and inspire you and support you on your climb, on what you're doing. And that's just like we did when we were in the military. Not everyone's going to be like that. You can see I always paint the right, and then I have to go to the left too.
It's true.
But overall, there's a lot of good people out there, and they do want to see you win.
That's true. Thanks, Ryan. Thank you for taking time out of your day, because I know you're busy.
Thank you. Thank you for taking, you know, time with me today. and allowing me to come on to your show. And hopefully I wasn't the worst guest that you've had.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. All right, guys. So I will put all his information into the podcast guide and the show notes. And just stay tuned because there is so much more to come. Thank you.
All we need is a little understanding. Walk a mile in their shoes. And if we keep our hearts open-minded, we'll enjoy this wild ride called life. And if we keep our hearts open-minded, enjoy this wild ride called life.
Thank you for listening to the Truths We Hide podcast, created and founded by your host, Annette, the founder of A Wild Ride Called Life. Also, a big thank you to all of our sponsors. For each and every episode that is aired, we have so much support from them and all of our listeners. You can find more information at www.awildridecalllife.com.